Begin the current daf Masechet Zbachim daf Kufta Zayin. Begin in the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the brayse of the previous daf, which was related to the halacha of our Mishnah, which our Mishnah described the chronology of the Jewish people from the beginning of when they started their journey as the Jewish people all the way till the current time regarding the halacha of Avodah, the service to Hashem, which initially, before the Mishkan was erected, then people were allowed to make their own private bamas, their private altars, and sacrifice all different types of karbanas. As the Braisa continued, as our Gemara quotes, that not only could they be behemoths, chayes, v'ayfus, they could be zacharim, nekevus, male, female, temimin, obalimumin, they could be unblemished or blemished animals. Whereas the Gemara says, the Amma Malik, the master says, tamas v'zachas be'behema, the law of that a carbon has to be unblemished, and that it has to be male, versus, let's say, certain karbanas that could only be male, not female, is only be'behema, only by animals. But the in Thomas Vizachas Paifis, there is no, even by the laws of karbanas in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no halacha of being unblemished or being male by bird karbanas. Now the iskish behema la'if, and the pasuk that we brought in the previous staff, which is the source for this halacha, that all types of karbanas before the times of the Mishkan, before there was a public bama, which is so too was in the times of Nayach, that all those karbanas that he brought as karbanas after the mabul, which the pasuk equates, the behemoth karbanas he brought to the eif, to the bird karbanas, where just like by eifes, there's no problem and it's not a psul of being balei mumin, so too the behemoths before the Beis HaMikdash was built, including the Mishkan, there was no problem in validation of being one type of gender or about being blemished animal. Now the Gemara makes an inference. It says temimin balei mumin, that it regarding the halacha is, it could have been unblemished or even blemished, but that's as far as it goes. However, that excludes if it's missing a limb, where that couldn't be brought as a carbon, because that is even a problem by bird carbonus. Of Adam or Blaz, it says, from where do we know that if an animal is missing a limb, that is prohibited for even a non-Jew, which is what the Jewish people were at that time, beforehand, in the days of Nayach, that, and that's the status that they had regarding the carbonus before the Mishkan was built, that to bring a carbon to Hashem, that it's a problem if it's missing a limb. That says the Gemara Tamalim, because the pasuk over there teaches in regards to the different animals that Noach was told what to bring into the teva. It says mikol chai, mikol basar, from every living, from every flesh. It says two from each type you should bring into the ark, that it should live with you, and that they should be male and female. And that says the Gemara. I'm Torah. The Torah is saying, what does it mean mikol chai? Of course, it's not bringing in dead animals. What's the word mikol chai? Have behema, bring in animals, shechayin rashi evarin shala, that it should be totally alive, meaning that even the tips of its limbs should all be alive, meaning that none of the limbs should be missing. Now, why was Noach forewarned and prescribed to be careful to make sure that they're not missing any limbs? Must be that it's related to because the fact that when he was going to leave the ark, he was going to bring karbanas to say that these are the types of animals that are only valid even for ben Noach, even for a non-Jew, to bring his karbanas. And that is the Gemara. How do you know that's the source? Maybe the term over the Mikol HaChai is not coming to say that all the limbs should be alive. So what does it mean, alive? Of course, it wasn't bringing dead animals. It means to say, but not don't bring an animal that has a mortal defect, which is not going to be a full-fledged live animal. Maybe that's what it's excluding. And that says the Gemara, now, who? The exclusion of a treifa, Melchai Zaranafka, was learned out from the other words in the Pasuk, that for having seed that's going to live, because a treifa cannot give birth. And therefore, that's not going to be l'chai zar. That was the point of bringing the animal so that the word could propagate and continue. And that's not going to be if the animal is a treifa. And that we already know from l'chai zar. And that is the Gemara. Hanich l'mandam a treifa any ledis. That's only a good source to already know the exclusion of a treifa of an animal mortal defect, according to the pin that holds that a treifa, a mortal defect animal, cannot give birth. L'mandam a treifa any ledis. But according to the pin that holds, which is a machlekes elsewhere, that a treifa could give birth. So, Michael, what are you going to say? You don't know the exclusion from L'chai Zara, because a treifa could also have seed and have children. So therefore, that's not excluding treifa. So maybe Mikol L'chai is excluding treifa and not excluding an animal that's mechusar aver for karbanas. That's the Gemara, no, because Hamakra, the Pasuk also says over there in the Pasuk, Itach, take all these animals in with you. What does it mean, with you? Of course they can be with you. They can be in the ark with you. It means, B'daimelach, compared to you, meaning to exclude a treifa, just like you're a healthy person. So do they have to be healthy animals, not with a moral defect? And that is the Gemara. How do you know that's what it means? But maybe Noach himself had a mortal defect, and therefore was similar to him, which was treifa. How do you know that's already excluding treifa to say that that's not what Mikol HaChai is excluding, and therefore you have Mikol HaChai to say to exclude Mechusar Eiver? And that's the Gemara. No, you can't say Neich was a treifa. Tamim ksebe. Regarding Neich, it starts of the parasha Neich is tzadik tamim ha'yibedayresim. It says that he was tamim, whole, which was that he didn't have a mortal defect. And that's just the Gemara. B'dimu tamim b'dracha. Maybe it means that he was whole. Maybe he was whole in his paths. Mean that he was humble and that he was tolerant. Says the Gemara. No, tzadik ksebe. Already says that he was righteous. Already know he had those good attributes and characteristics. So obviously tamim is talking about in his body. That's just the Gemara. No. Vidilma, maybe they refer to two different elements. Tamim bedrachim, complete is in his paths, and tzadik b'maisav, and the righteous means in his actions. So maybe they're both talking about ethics and values, and not necessarily regarding his body. So on that, the Gemara answers, no. If you would entertain the way you're saying, that he himself had a mortal defect, and therefore you're saying maybe itach with you meant that they also have, that they're treifas, and therefore we couldn't exclude treif from there, but then asked the Gemara, then mikamali lenoich, but is that what Hashem would be telling to Noach? The kavasach ail, only those that are like you, meaning that they also have a treifa, those should come in, but shleimim loy ta'ail, but whole and unblemished animals don't take in? That wouldn't make sense. And therefore, obviously, we're saying like you, obviously, he's coming to say like you that they're not treifa, because to say only treifa, that wouldn't make sense. And that's how we know to exclude treifa. So now the Gemara asks, so according to that mandamah, once we now know from the word similar to you, with you, that that is excluding treifa, so l'chai zera lamali, so according to that opinion, what do you need to say that to propagate seed? What's that coming to tell us? Of course these are animals that could have seed, because it's not like the other one who was saying to exclude treifa, because you're already excluding treifa from itach. And that's just the Gemara, no, because what would you say, the itach, when it says with you, is not to expound and to say to be similar to you. Rather, it's just that Hashem is notifying to Noach that because of his honor, that he should have all these animals, litzav sabalma, just for company. And not that they should be like you, yes, that not a moral defect, they shouldn't die, but just that you should have company. But what that would say is, afilazak and afilasriz, they could be even elderly animals, even those that are neutered, that they can't have children. But as long as they'll be with you, that they don't have a treifa, so they'll survive the journey. K'mash malam, that's why the pasuk says l'chay zara, to say that no, we need the animals to survive, not just to keep their company, but that they could then continue to propagate it, and that the world should be full again, and not just to keep his company. Now, obviously, once we're saying that from l'chay zara, that that's why the animals had to survive, so obviously itach is superfluous, because we already know that they should be not treifa so that they could propagate. So obviously then it's coming to expound that they should be similar to you, which is even though the treifa could have children, but that it shouldn't be a treifa that we know from similar to you, which just like Noach obviously was coming to say that not that it was a treifa, because then why would he have to take only treifa animals? Rather it must say that just like you're not a treifa, so that the animals should not have a mortal defect. Now the Brisa continued by saying that although they were able to bring all types of animals before the Mishkan was erected, but Tahir, not to be kosher animals, but not non-kosher animals. Now, the source, as we had brought, was from Noach, where he brought all types of animals and sacrificed them as a carbon, and this was all before the Mishkan was erected, when then the Avoda, the service in the sanctuary, began. On that, as the Gemara, Mi'abetimeinu Tahir Bahishaita, were there kosher and non-kosher animals at that time? But the Tahir wasn't given yet. What is this saying that they only brought kosher versus non-kosher animals? That Amr Shmuel by Nachman and Rabbi Yonasan, he says, Me'isin, the Girsa takes out the next four words and asserts the words, as the Shita Megubetzes brings in Oizayin, Me'isin Shasidin Litar, from those that were in the future going to be kosher. That's the types that they were allowed to bring as karbanos. But the Gemara asks, but Menah B'yadi, but how did they know? They weren't learned it in the Torah to know what was kosher or not. And that says the Gemara, Kedrav Chizda. Like Rav Chizda said, Amr Rav Chizda says, what Noach did, how do you know which was the kosher ones, and thus to bring a carbon from them, and not those which are non-kosher. Hivir lefnei ha-teva. He brought all the animals in front of the ark. Kol sha-teva kol tasin, whichever one the ark took in, b'yadu shutar, so it was known that it was kosher. Ein ha-teva kol tasin, if the ark did not take it in, b'yadu sha-yitain t'min, he knew that it was non-kosher, and that's how he was able to discern which one was the kosher ones to bring karbanos from after the flood, and which ones were not. Revo Omer, he says, Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, V'haboim zochen nekev, it says, that they came, the animals, they came male and female. What does it mean, and they came? It means, Haboim meleim, they came by themselves. So all the animals that came to the ark, Noach didn't gather them, they all came by themselves, and he was able to recognize, by those who came seven of the same species, so he knew that those were the kosher ones. Those that came only two by themselves, he knew those were the non-kosher ones, as the Pasuk says, and therefore, that's how he knew what was kosher and what was not. Omer Mar, The Braisa in the previous daf continued and said, "Vakol karba oilis." Now, all these before the Mishkan was erected, when everyone had their private altars, they all sacrificed oilis, which are totally burned karbanis. Every part of it is burned on the mizbeach. Amaras the Gemara, oilis in shlamim. Lo, you tell me before the Mishkan was erected, the people only brought karbanis oila, not shlamims, which are not totally burned, but rather parts of it are eaten. But Vaksiv, the pasuk says in Shemayis, "Vayizbuchu zvachim shlamim laHashem parm," that they slaughtered karbanis shlam for Hashem that were bulls, and this was in Midbar Sinai, which was before the erection of the Mishkan. And you're saying that up until the Mishkan was put up, they didn't bring shlam; they only brought oilis. How do we resolve the contradiction? Elaimer rather says the Gemara, no, and the Gir says not hakol but lakoil, for everyone, meaning whether Jewish or non-Jewish, karva oilis. That's what it means to say that everyone was allowed to bring karbanos oilis, but shlamim were not allowed for non-Jews. And from the time of when the Torah was given, then the Jewish people were chosen, then they were allowed to sacrifice karbanos shlamim. And the Girsa takes out the in the brackets and says, which is oilis in shlam loy, that only karbanos oilis, that was what was sacrificed by everybody, but not shlamim, because as we said, we're going to be the noyach, that they did not bring, as the Gemara says, "Kamandam lekarbon shlam b'nei noach." The non-Jews do not bring karbon shlam; they only bring karbonas oila. That's why we said that they all brought oila. It means every type of person. Yeah, the Jews will be able to bring shlam, but everyone, including non-Jews, is only oilas. Did my like we learned this actually machlekes? Belaz of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Charamer. One of them says karbon shlam b'nei noach. The non-Jews are allowed to bring shlam. The Charam alay karbon. The other one says no; they can only bring karbonas oila. So the Gemara says, "My time of the mandam of karbon shlam b'nei noach." What's the reason, the source of the one who says that non-Jews could bring a shlama? So the Gemara says, "The chiluk says the pasuk in Bereishis says the hevel hevi gamhu, that not only Cain who brought a carbon to Hashem, but hevel also he also brought mebechayrit sainer mechabonehen from the firstborns of his flock and from their fats." Now says the Gemara, "Ezeu davar, what is the type of thing that's a carbon?" Shechel by karb, like it says, from their fats, that the fats are sacrificed legam mizbech on the altar, the inkule karb legam mizbech, and it's not the whole animal. That why is it singling out the fat? Sounds like that was what was sacrificed, and not the whole animal. Avoyim is a shlam, that's the shlam, which it's a mur in the sacrificial parts. The fats of the animals are burned, but the rest of the animal is actually eaten. So you see a reference that B'nai Noach, which is even before, there's the sons of Adam Arishan, but before the Mishkan, that the non-Jews would even bring a karbon shlam. Says the Gemara, "My time of demand the karbon." What's the reason for the opinion who says that they did not bring shlam? So he brings the chesiv of pasuk in Shir Hashirim. It says, "Uri tzafin, awaken the north, uvayi seimon, and come to the south." Tis, what does that mean? So on that says the Gemara, the word uri is from the word of tisnair umo, like vayinar shemitzam, like shake out. The nations should be shaken out. Shemaseo bat tzafin. That's what means tzafin, where its activities are all in the north, meaning referring to that the nations of the world, they bring only karbanas ayla, which, as we said previous parak, requires to be done all its actions in the north. Vetavai, so let them be shaken out. Vetavai, and let them come to the king Mashiach. Only the umma shemaseo bat tzafin ubadar, meaning come to the south. Come to the people that they don't just do the karbanis in the north, but they do in the north and the south, which are the Jewish people who bring not only oilis, but also karbanis shlam. But that is the Gemara, Ma Nami, this master too, but Hagsiv Mechel Be'em. What's with the other source that the previous opinion brought, which it says that Hevel had brought from the fats? Sounds like a karban that only the fats are brought, which is shlam. That says the Gemara, no, it means Mishamnehen Didhu, from their fattiest, choicest animals. And however, but it's referring to karbon oila, wasn't the fats of the animals, it's the terminology of choice, of juice, of fatty, that's what it's referring to, but it's referring to the whole animal, to an oila. That is the Gemara Maranami, but the first opinion, what does he do, hoksib uritzav, and what does he do with the second pasuk, which seems to indicate, get rid of the nations who only do in the north, unlike the Jews who do in the south too. So the Gemara, who bekibitz galius hu dechsib, that's referring to the ingathering of the exiles. And the pasuk is having a different message. It means awaken the northern wind and awake and come in the southern wind, meaning that to gather all the exiles that are spread out throughout the world and come and greet Melech Mashiach, but it's not referring to a contrast of the Jews and the non-Jews. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Vogsiv, there's a pasuk in Shemais that says, Vayemer Moshe, that Moshe being said to Paroi, that when he was asking for permission to go and serve Hashem, he says, Gam ata titin b'yedeinu zvachim v'ailus, you also will give us zvachim, karbanis, va'ilis, and totally burned sacrifices. V'asinu l'Hashem l'kein, and we're going to do it for Hashem our God. Now, zvachim generally is a definition of shlamim, and this was before Matan Torah in Mitzrayim, and everyone had a categorization as b'nei noach, and yet we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that they're going to bring zvachim, which is shlam. That's what the Gemara knows. Zvachim, and that pasuk does not refer to shlam. Rather, it's a terminology of slaughtering. And it means, power, you're going to give us those animals are going to be slaughtered la'chila for eating, va'oilis la'krava, and oilis, which are going to be karbanis, because even them, that they had a status of b'nei nayach, before, when they got to Tyre, they actually only brought oilis and not shlam. But the Gemara continues asking, but Baksiv, there's a pasuk, it says, v'yikach yisrei chaysin meisha, that yisrei, the father-in-law of meisha, he took oilu uzvachim. He took oila and he sacrificed osu uzvachim, shlam. And that says the Gemara, no, hu la'chamatan tayuhu dechzim. That was already after the Torah was given, and then they already had a status of Jewish people, and that's why they were able to bring shlam. But on that, as the Gemara, hanich l'mandama, that's only good according to the pin that says, which this machlekes the Gemara brings later on, the Yisra achamatan tayuhu hayu, that Yisrael, he came after the Torah was given, and therefore they had the status of Jewish people to bring shlam. But el mandama Yisra koyin matan tayuhu, but according to the one who says that Yisra, when he came to the Jews in the desert, was actually before the Torah was given, so Michael Mamer, what are you going to say? They had a status of ben nayach. How are they able to bring zvachim, which was shlam? Didma, like it was said, that there was a machlekes b'nei Reb Chiya, the sons of Reb Chiya, Reb Shu ben Levi. Chad amar Yisra koyin matan tayuhu hayu. One of them said that Yisra came before the Torah was given. The chad amar Yisra achaman tayuhu, and one of them says that he came after. So according to one that says that he was there before, how were they able to bring shlam? Says the Gemara, you're right. Laman dama Yisra koyin matan tayuhu. According to the pin that says that Yisra was there before matan tayuhu, and they had a status of ben nayach, and still he brought shlamim. Kisavah shlam mekriv b'neich. He holds like that a pin that says that non-Jews actually could bring a karban shlam, and therefore it's not a difficulty. Now the Gemara says, Kitanoi, that this idea that we said that if Yisra came before Matan Torah or afterwards is a machlikas tanoim, as we find the following braisa. It says in the Pasuk in Parashas Yisra, Yishma Yisra koin Midyan, that Yisra, the priest of Midyan, he heard. And then he came to the Jewish people in the desert. So says the Gemara, Mashmua Shama Ubav, in this guy, what exactly did he hear that he came and then he converted to Judaism? So Yeshua Emri says, Muhammad Amalek Shama, he heard about the war they had with Amalek. Sharik Sibbet Tzidik, as it says near there in the parasha right before, at the end, says, V'yachlish Yeshua es Amalek v'es Amalek v'charv, that Yeshua weakened Amalek and his people according to the sword. So he heard about the great war with Amalek, and he was impressed, and therefore he came to the Jewish people. Now, that's before Matan Torah. However, Blazim Adai Amri, he says, Matan Torah Shama Oba, he heard about the giving of the Torah, and therefore he came. And therefore, we see that this Tana holds that he came after Matan Torah, and therefore that's the Machlekes Tanoim. As he elaborates, Shekashenitna Torah Yisrael, when the Torah was given to the Jewish people, and saying what exactly Yisrael heard that he came, the voice of Hashem was from one end of the world to the other end. And all the kings, the idol-worshipping kings, there was a great tremor and trembling that gripped them in their palaces. Vamar Shir, and they said song. Like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, which at the beginning of the pasuk there says, Koil Hashem, the voice of Hashem, Yechoil Ayolus, was stripped the trees. And that's referring to Matan Torah, the giving of Torah. And the pasuk continues, Uvehei Chaloi, and in his palace, referring to every single king's palace, Kulei Armor covered, they all say that honor, homage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas the Gemara explains, in Skabsu Kulam Etzel Bilam Rasha, they all gathered to their great prophet, the wicked Bilam, Vamulay, then said to him, Ma koila amoyna shashman, what's this great noise that we're hearing? Shema mabal bol oil, maybe a flood is coming to the world? As the Girsa says, Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk after that, Hashem lamabal yashav, Hashem is going to return it to a flood? On that, Amalami said to them, no. But Yeshav Hashem melch l'oil, as the Pasuk there says, Hashem will sit as the king forever, which is Kvanishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already swore that he's going to be a king forever on his creations and he's not going to destroy it anymore. Sheini Mava Mabul Oilam, he's not going to bring a flood to the world. On that Amalai, they said to him, Mabul Shalmayim, and he may be right, he's not going to bring a flood of water. Of a Mabul Shalesh, maybe, but he's going to bring a flood of fire. Shemak says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki Be'esh Hashem Nishpat, because with fire Hashem is going to judge. And Amalahani said to them, no. Kvanishba Sheini Mashlis Kolbasa, he already swore he's not going to destroy all the flesh, all the living people. Now, so they asked him, what's this great tremor, all this great noise that we're listening? He said to them, he has a great treasure that he has in his treasure house, which was stored by him, which were 974 generations before the world was created. Now, and from the world was created, there's 26 generations from Adam Harishon until Moshe Rabbeinu, which that's what the pasuk in Tehillim Kafei qualifies as a Dover Tzibul Elav Dar. This is something that he commanded for the 1,000 generations, meaning because 974 generations before the world was created, plus the 26th one that was created till Matan Torah is 1,000 generations. Ubikish lit levanav, and he wants to give it to his sons, to the Jewish people. Hashem, like it says in the pasuk over there in Tehillim, Hashem oiz lamayitin. Hashem gives strength to his people, the Jewish people, which is the Torah, which has the strength of the Jewish people. Miat paschul kulam v'amr. So immediately they all open up and they said shir, like the pasuk says over there. Hashem yivarach hasam v'sham. Hashem shall bless his people with peace. Now, another opinion, Belazim, he says kriyas yamsuf shamaba. What Yisrael heard that made him come was the splitting of the yamsuf. Shenemak says the pasuk in Yeshua, it says that when all the kings of the Amori that they heard, which they were in the Eva HaYard in the Transjordan, that Hashem dried up the water of the Jordan when the Jewish people passed by, that their hearts melted and there was no more spirit in front of them, in front of the Jewish people. So that was when they crossed the Jordan, which split. The same thing also was when the Yamsuf split, that was the same thing Yisrael heard, and they also got inspired and came to the Jewish people. And va'af Rachav Azayna Amr l'shluchi Yeshua, and the same idea was communicated by Rachav the prostitute to the messengers that Yeshua had said to spy out, that sent to spy out Eretz Yisrael, as the pasuk says in Yeshua, she told them kishemanu, because we heard Isashahivish Hashem esmei Yamsum, that Hashem dried up the waters of the Yamsum, and therefore we all petrified of the Jewish people. Now the Gemara asks, Maishna Hastim, what's the difference? Why in the first pasuk that we brought in Yeshua, the Amr that it says that there wasn't any more spirit in the people? Why are we here when Rachav mentions the Kama of the pasuk says v'loikama oid ruach ba'ish, that there wasn't any more erect a spirit in the man? Why does it say erect, and why does it say the terminology of man? So that the Gemara explains as a ketintam and beis to refer to the afila akshuye, that even an erection of their member for relations namaloy akshu, they it couldn't even have an erection. And Rachab knew about this, and she told this to the messengers of Yeshua in that terminology to say that's how scared we are of the Jewish people. Now the Gemara says, how did she know that every man couldn't have an erection? That says the Gemara, because the Amar Malik, the master says, it's brought in Mechilta and Parashat Yisrael, Ein lecha kol sarva nagad, there wasn't any prince or nobleman, Shlei Baal Rachab Azayin, that did not have relations with Rachab the prostitute. As the Gemara says, Amar, they said, Bas Yud Shanam Haisa Keshiyatzi Yisrael in Mitzrayim, she was 10 years old when the Jewish people left Egypt, and all the 40 years that the Jews were in the desert, she was Mezana. Acher nun shana, and this guy, after the age of 50, that's when she converted and she repented. Amr, she said, Yehi machali, it should be forgiven to me, bischar, in the merit of chavel, of the rope, chaloin, the window, upishtim, and the flax, as the Braisa teaches in Mechiltim. She said, Master of the world, I sinned with three things, and with those three things, you should forgive me. As Rabbeinu Yehuda brings the Shaar Teshuvah, a person's repentance should be for the same things in through that he sinned. If one sins with the eyes, one should repent with the eyes. And she had sinned with the three things of the rope, the flax, and the window, because when people would have relations with her, they would come up to her with a rope through the window, and she would then have them go down that way, and she would even sometimes hide them in the flax to protect their identity. And with those three things is what she had used to protect and to save the messengers of Yeshua, and therefore she beseeched mercy that with those same three things that she sinned, that she should be forgiven because of the merit of what she did for the Shluch Yeshua. Now, Amamar, the town of the Braisa, concluded, as we said this on the previous daf, that idol worshippers, even in today's days, the non-Jews, Rishoy and Lasses Kin, are allowed to do this, to serve Hashem on the Ibam, on the private altar, not to have it done. Meaning there's no problem like the Jewish people to have a bama. Now it says the Gemara, not where do we know this from? The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa. The pasuk says of a yikra, when it refers to the Isra of Shchut Ichutz, it says, Dabel B'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, which B'nei Yisrael mitzvah na Shchut Ichutz, only the Jewish people are commanded on the prohibition of slaughtering out of the Azara. But Ve'ina of the Kechav mitzvah na Shchut Ichutz, but the non-Jews are not forbidden about slaughtering a carbon to Hashem out of the Azara. Lefikach, therefore, kol echad ve'echad bain labana la'atzmai, every single non-Jew could build his own private altar. U'makav ala kol mashiyetz, he's allowed to sacrifice to Hashem, whatever he wants to. Now, Amr B'yakav Baracha, Amr Avas, he says, but asa l'sayin v'lasa shlichus, but it's forbidden to assist him and to do their agency for them, because today's times, there's a prohibition for the Jewish people to engage in a private altar. And the reason for that is because although there's no more Beis HaMikdash, but the sanctity of Yerushalayim has no more permissibility of a bama after that time. And therefore, although they're allowed to, we're not allowed to assist them. Now, however, Amar Rabba, he says, Ularinuluhu, but to guide them how they should do it, that's permitted. As the Gemara says, Kihad the Ifra Hurmuz. Like Ifra Hurmuz, who is Imid the Shvar Malka, the mother of King Shapur, the king of Persia, that Shadra Kubana le Rabba, she sent a sacrifice to Rabba, and Shalchale, she sent him, Asku and the Halei L'Shem Shemayim, I want you to sacrifice for me for the sake of heaven. So Amalu le Rav Safra le Rav Acha Barhuna. So he said to Rav Safra and Rav Acha Barhuna, he says, Zilu v'dabur trei ulam egulai. Go and take two non-Jewish lads that are the same age, because that makes it more appropriate and dignified when they're both the same age. V'chazu hecha damaska yamasrit, and see a place where the sediment comes up from the sea, where it dries up and becomes earth. And the reason why it had to be over there, because it had to be the altar that they're going to make that was never utilized by a human being. V'shekulu tzivichate, and go take new wood that was never used by a person, so that it shouldn't be, let's say, a part of a broken tool that a person had already used. V'apiku nuro mimara chadita, and also draw fire from new steel, which with taking a stone on the steel, one could take fire out of the stones, which is all the same idea, which everything has to be new. Basku and halei l'shem shemayim, then go sacrifice this animal for the sake of heaven, for this non-Jewish woman. Now, on that, Abai said to him, come on, who are you going like? Kribalaz ben Shemua. Because the time of the Abai, Kribalaz ben Shemua, he says that ma mizbech shleish tamash behedya, just like the altar, was not allowed to be used by a regular person. Af eitzim, so too the firewood, which in this case he said even the firewood should be new that was never used by a human being, which it also mentions in the pasuk, shleish tamash ben hedjit, should also be that it was never used by a person. However, on that, asked Abaya, but he himself agrees by a private altar that it doesn't have to be like that. That it could be that the firewood was already used by an adam, by a regular person. So why you'd say that they have to use only new wood that was never used? The time like Luna Braisa. Kasav Echadema, one pasuk says in Divrei Yom Aleph, v'yitin David la'arnon b'makim, that he gave regarding the place to buy the place of the Beis HaMikdash, shikli zav, golden shkolim, mishkol sheish meis v'gaymer, where it was a weight of 600 shkolim. Now, Ksiv, the pasuk says, however, in Shmuel Beis, v'yikin David es agorin v'sabokar, that David acquired the threshing place and the cattle, bekesef, with silver, shkolim chamishim, which were 50 shkolim. Now, the difficulty is, haketzah, how is that so? Was it 600 shkolim, was it 50 shkolim? So that says the Gemara, Goivim mikol shevet v'shevet chamishim, he collected from each tribe 50 shkolim, shein sheish meis, which if you multiply that by 12, you get 600 shkolim. A different interpretation, Rabbi Aimim Mishim Abayesi ben Dustai, he says the resolution of these two psukim was a 650, is Bakar ve'etzim amakam ezbeach, the cattle, the wood, and the place of the altar, that was benun, that was 50 shkolim. V'chol abayis kula b'sheish meis, an entire area for the whole Beis HaMikdash was for 600 shkolim. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, he says, Bakar ve'etzim, the girsa takes out the word amakam ezbeach, benun, the cattle and the wood was for 50 shkolim. An entire area of the temple complex was for 600 shkolim. That's like it says in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, but Yema Aravna el David, that Aravna said to David, Yikach, take it, v'yala deni ha-melech atay be'enav, and let my master, the king, take what's good in his eyes. Re'e, you should see, ha-bakar la'ayla, the cattle is for a carbon ayla, v'ha-marigim, v'klei ha-bakar la'etzim, and the marigim, which we're going to explain shortly what that is, and the tools of the animals, those are should be used for the firewood to burn the karbanis. The one thing we see is that David took the merigim for etzim, for firewood, like Aravna had said, and those were tools that were used. So you see that for a bama, one does not need fresh wood. But Rav Amalach, Rav would tell you, no, hasam nam b'chati, they were also new, meaning those tools were never used. They were made, but they were never used by a person, and therefore they were allowed to be used as fuel, but it has to be new wood, just like the altar has to be not used by a head. Now the Gemara clarifies my Marigim. What's this Marigim? So Ma'uli says in Mita Shal Turbal, as described in Seftas Parah, Perakud Beis Mishnah Tes, a bed of Turbal. So it says in my Mita Shal Turbal. So Ma'abai says it refers to Iza de Kurkasa. It's a type of a goat made out of wood, which has pointy pegs, and it's also made with pointy things coming out of it. The Daishan Di Shoy, that it's used to thresh what was already threshed, meaning they take this sharp, pointy, goat-shaped piece of wood that's hard and put it over the things that were already threshed, and it cuts it and then breaks it down further, even to smaller pieces, into straw. That's this tool that was used by the fuel of the firewood. But again, like Rabbi said, that was new, and therefore it doesn't contradict what he was saying, that it has to be new wood for a bama. Now, Amar Abaye says, Mikra, what's the pasuk that shows us that this mayrig is something that's made with pointy things that's used to thresh things and to break it down to smaller pieces? So this is a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Hinesamtich lemayrig, behold, I made you into this mayrig, which is charetz chadash, sharp and new, bal pafias, with pointy edges. So we see that that's what the mayrig is. Now the Gemara, regarding what we mentioned before, the contradiction of the two psukim, makrile Rava lebrei. Rava was reciting psukim to his son. V'ramile kora adodi, and he was contradicting the psukim one on the other. Ksiv, on the one hand, the pasuk says, v'yitin davila arnon v'gerim, that he gave to Arnon, which was 600 shkal. Uksiv, but the other pasuk says, v'yitin davila v'gerim, that David acquired it for 50 shkal. So, okay, it's at how so? So he explained, like we mentioned before, g'levim mikol shevet v'shevet chamishim, he collected from each tribe 50 shkal. Shehin sheish meis, for a total of 600, that's what the two psukim are referring to. But the Gemara asks about kati kashtin adodi, but the problem is there's still a contradiction in those two psukim. Hasam kesa, but one pasuk it says silver, hachazav, and one pasuk it says that it was gold. So which shkalim was it? Elahachikam, rather, says the Gemara, this is what the psukim are saying. Goiva kesef, he collected silver shkalim. Bemishkol sheish meizav, that those silver shkalim were a weight of what is 600 gold. That's the weight of 600 golden coins. And this is what the pasuk is saying. Silver that he collected from each tribe was, that silver was the value of 50 golden shkalim. And that's how much he collected from each tribe, which for a total of the silver shkalim were a total of a weight of 600 golden coins. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said up until the Mishkan was not erected, but up until that point, Kachem kalm nachalm chomachni Yisrael, the lower level karbans were able to be eaten in the entire camp of the Jewish people. Now that Rav Huna, he qualifies and he says, b'chol mekayim es Yisrael. This was in all places where the Jewish people were, where the assumption of the Gemara right now thinks to say, means no matter where a Jewish person went, even if he went out, quote, the machni Yisrael, he was able to eat the kachem kalm wherever he was. Which sounds like, says the Gemara, v'machna lehava, but therefore there was no law of the camp of the Jewish people as if you're limited to that area. No, wherever a Jew went, he was able to eat the kachem kalam. On that eisvei, Rav Nachman Rav Huna, u'machnas b'midbar lehavi, there were no laws of the encampment to say the machna Yisrael, machna leviyah, machna shchina in the times of the midbar, which, let's say, before the Mishkan was erected. But v'tanya, we'll learn the b'raisa, it says, k'shem shemachna b'midbar, just like there were the laws of the encampment, which means that there's specific areas in the desert, in Midbar Sinai where they were, kach machna b'Yerushalayim, so too, this is the same laws of camps in Yerushalayim, meaning in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. How so? Yerushalayim lahar habayis machna Yisrael. The city of Yerushalayim up until the Temple Mount is considered machna Yisrael. Mahar habayis l'shar nikonor, from the Temple Mount up until Nikonor gate of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the eastern gate, is machna leviyah, it's considered the Levite camp. From that point onward is considered the camp of the Divine Presence, which is the equivalent of what the curtains were in the times of the Midbar, meaning within the Shar Nikonor, which is the Azara, that's like the area within the curtains of the Mishkan, which is the Chatzar Oil Maid. So you see that there were machanos in the Midbar, which therefore Kachem Kalma limited that they cannot be taken out of Yerushalayim, so too out of the Machan Yisrael. Elaimer rather says, Gemara, what you should say is what he was saying was, is b'chol mokum machni Yisrael. Wherever they were, you had the machni Yisrael, meaning even at a time when they had to travel, so then everything came down. There's no different areas. The whole camp is moving. What it's telling us is that, however, the karbanis, the kachem kalam, did not become invalidated. Rather, they would be transported with them. And when they would then camp, then there would be a machni Yisrael. Then they would be able to eat the kachem kalam and did not become invalidated when they had to travel. That says Gemara Pshita, obviously. Why should it become invalidated? Says Gemara, no. Ma'adetem ipsul b'yaitzi. You would think maybe it becomes invalidated because of what we know as the psul b'yaitzi. But leaves the perimeter where it's allowed to be. We're here, there's no machni Yisrael when they're traveling. So then it should become invalidated. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush, said, no, it did not. So on that, says Gemara, b'dei machanami. Why don't you say that it's a psul b'yaitzi? And that says Gemara, because Amakra the Pasuk says, Menidbar, Menasa Oyamayid, that the tent of the assembly would travel. Which teaches us, in the wording is Ava Pishanasa, even though when it was traveling, Oyamayir, who you see was still called the tent of the assembling. You see that it still had its status, Machna Shechina, and that the laws of the camp still apply, although they were traveling. So although he couldn't eat it at that time, because it had to be in the Machna Yisrael, but it did not become invalidated as if it left, and that's why it was kosher when they then encamped again. He says, there was a fourth camp that was different than the area of the Temple Mount itself, but from the Azar, from the courtyard itself. Means say it was not Machne Levia, but it was not yet Machne Shechina. V'cheil Ezes Nashim, and that's the enclosure of the courtyard of the women, which is the area around the primary Azara, which is where the Avodah is done. So it's more than Har Habayis, but it's less than, meaning more than Machne Levia and less than Machne Shechina. But V'lohoya Einshin Alav, but there would not be any punitive measure, any punishment for anyone that would come into that area in the state of Tumah, just like it's permitted in the Har Habayis, but forbidden in Machne Shechina. And Masechtas Kehilim, the first parak, it explains exactly so what differentiated that area of the Cheil Ezes Nashim from the rest of the Temple Mount, more than Har Habayis, but yet not the area of the Azar itself. Now, Ubishiloi, in the time when the Jewish people were, the Mishkan was in Shiloi, in Eretz Yisrael, Lohoya Ela Shnei Machanes Bavada. That time, they only actually had two camps. So on that, it's Gemara has, Haiman Ayla Hava, which one of the three camps wasn't there at the time when the Mishkan, when the Oyel Moed was in Shiloi? On that Amar Rabbi says, Mistabra de Machne Levi Havi. It's logical to say that there was at least the Levite camp and that it was the Machne Yisrael that was missing. The Isogadar, because if it would entertain for you a thought to say that the Machne Yisrael was around and Machne Levi Eloi Havi, but there was no Levite camp. But as we continue to talk about Kovid Zayin Menalv, Nimtu, that would come out that Zavin, those who have Tumah because of a certain liquid that comes out of their body, but Tamei Mason, it's someone that became Tamei because he came in contact with a corpse, then Mishtalchen Chutz L'Machne Achnas, that they're both going to be sent out of into the same camp. I mean, they're only going to be leaving both of them, the Machne Shechina, because actually both of them are permitted to be a Machne Yisrael, as the Gemara says, B'sachem, Daf Samach Zayin Men Alf. The problem with that is, about Torah Amid, the Torah says, Mamidbar, V'lo Yitam Es Machanim, they should not contaminate their camps, which sounds like two camps. What does that mean? Ten Machne Lezeh, Machne Lezeh, that you should give a different camp for them to leave, for the both of them, meaning one for the Zav to leave and one for the Tamei Lenefesh. Rather, must be that there was the Machne Levia. And those who were Tamei from a mess were sent out of Machne Shechina and they were permitted to be Machne Levia. The Zavin and those who have carry, that have a seminal mission, they're sent out of also out of the Machne Levia. But you can't say that there was no Machne Levia because then they're both going to be in the same Machne of Machne Yisrael and being only sent out of one Machne, Machne Shechina, yet the Pasuk says clearly they have to be sent out of different camps. But on that, I ask Amalei Rava. Rava then asked, but Elamai, so what are you going to say? So Machne Yisrael, have you want to say, okay, there was Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, but there was no Machne Yisrael. And therefore, when they left Machne Levia, so there was no any more established camp. It was like just open field. And therefore, the Mitzaron were permitted to sit over there, as they're supposed to be sent to Machne Yisrael, but there is no more Machne Yisrael. So therefore, that comes out that the Mitzaron is sitting together with the Zav, who has to be sent to Machne Levia. So Nimtzu comes out, Zav and the Mitzayra, Mishtach L'makam Echa, that the Zav and the Mitzayra, the one who has Tsaras, a Nega, is sent out to the same place, which is that they're both leaving only Machne Levia. The problem with that is, V'atayra Amin, the Torah says, Yikra Bodod Yeshev, that Mitzayra has to sit in solitude alone, Shlo Yeshev Tamei Achayim, that no other Tamei is allowed to sit with him. And that's why he's out of all the three camps, which they're not. No one else is sent out of him. Problem is, if there's no Machne Yisrael, him and the Zav are sitting together. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Lo Ilm Kulu Tlas Ahava. Truth is, even in Shiloh, all three camps were there, as we said, because he needed it for each one to be out of a different camp. So Umay Lo Ahava Elish De Machnas. So then what does he mean when he said that there were only two camps? It means Leklita. It means for being able to contain the what was removed from the halachic status of Machne Levia. It was there. In regards to Tumba, it was recognized. But it means to say that generally, where do those who kill by mistake go? They go to the Levite cities. Regarding to that halacha in Shiloh, that there was no halacha in that regard to Machne Levia to be able to protect and contain those who killed by mistake. Now, that the Gemara asks, well, the inference is the Machlal de Bemidbar, that when they were in the desert, because the only exception we said was Shiloh in Eretz Yisrael, there have you called to Machne Levia, that then the Levite camp did protect and contain those who killed by mistake, which then they're not allowed to be killed by the Gol Adam, by the relative of the one who was killed. So the Gemara, and yes, Vatanya, this is what we learned in the Braisa. With the Pasuk in Shmais, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel says, where it begins over there, it says that if someone didn't lie in ambush and it just happened by the hand of God that he killed someone by mistake, so Hashem said to Moshe Benu, Besamti Lecha Makam, that I'll place for you, I'll make for you a place. What does it mean, Besamti Lecha? I'll place for you. It means b'chayecha, in your life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was alluding to Moshe when he was giving him the Torah, that he's going to merit to fulfill this mitzvah, like the Pasuk said in Devarim Dalet, Oz Yavdal Moshe Shalasham, that Moshe already separated in Transjordan three cities at the end of the 40 years where he merited to actually establish the city of refuge. Now, moreover, as some Gisaris put in the word Lacha could be put not only with the word Besamti Lacha, but also Lacha Makim. What does that mean, Lacha Makim? It means Mekayim Cha, your place, meaning the Makim Shalach, which is Machn Leviya, that should be the place that should be capturing and be a refuge for those who killed by mistake. Ashayan Neshama, will they flee over there? Malam, this teaches Shemagalim B'Midbar, that even in the desert, there, over there, in your place, they went into exile. Where did they go into exile? Lamach Levi, into the Levite camp. Now, says the Gemara, from here is where they said that Ben Levi, a Levi himself, who he himself dwells in the city of refuge, because all the 48 cities of the Levium were Ori Mikla, as the Gemara says in Makkos Abidal and Aleph, where Shaharik, if he kills by mistake, so Goy Lemi Pelech LePelech, so he goes into exile from his city to another one of the other Levite cities, because that's what we're expounding. B'samti Lecha Makom, I'm going to make for you a place, meaning even you, the Levium, that they also have a place to go into exile to one of the other cities. But Vimgala LePolcha, but if he goes into exile into his own city, for example, let's say he moves from neighborhood to neighborhood, then Polcha Kalta, then his own city will protect him and contain him, which is similar to the Midbar, which, like we said, the Machn Leviya protects him and it's a refuge for him. But says Gemara Micro, what's the pasuk that we see that even his own city could protect him? He says in Bamidbar, Ki Beir Meklata Yeshiv, because in his city of refuge he'll sit. What does it mean, his city of refuge? Ir Shel Kotas Kvar, the city that already was refuge from up until now, where it was already his city because he lived there, still that Meklata, that same city, could go ahead and protect him. And therefore, if he does go to his own city but he just changed his neighborhood, will be valid after the fact for the Levi to be protected if he kills by mistake in the city of refuge.